Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Tim, are you back?
I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here.
Sorry.
I get it. They expand to 24. They go to ESPN and they say, give us more money. And I guess that probably happens. But even if they expand to 16, they're going to get more. And then here's a crazy thought process. How about a team that went to the playoff a year ago doesn't schedule Howard in their non-con and remove Power Four teams like Indiana? And maybe we get compelling regular season games, which is what we have. I don't see how in any way an expansion to 24 makes the sport better. I don't see it. It's like expanding the college basketball tournament to 96. It would not work.
Well, I even think it's worse than that. Like, because let's be real, like you're going from 24 and it's like, all right, how many G5 teams have real playoff aspirations? Five? Six?
Yeah, probably.
All right, so what percentage of the air quotes P4 have real playoff aspirations? So I think there's 68, let's say, let's cut it in half, 34, right? Like, you don't need a playoff with 24. I can tell you this in high school football when I'm watching it in the state of Tennessee where you get these teams that are 2-7 in their playoff teams, like, it is not a good product. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll talk more about starting quarterbacks that have been announced. We also had a special presentation of SportsCenter last night. Want to discuss that and more when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Birdies is Memphis's number one spot for virtual golf with three golf simulators as well as a full-service bar. It makes for a great outing for both all golfers and the non-golfers. Also, August means it's a membership special month because you can buy a full membership and receive a six-month practice membership free. All the details are over at golfatbirdies.com. And August also means discounts if you book online in advance. If you got four players or more and you book your tee time at golfatbirdies.com, you'll get 40% off. Three players, you'll get 30% off. Two players, you'll get 20% off. If you're a single, you'll get 10% off. It's also not too late to book your fantasy football draft at Birdies. They'll put the fantasy draft up on one of their big projectors for you. Makes for a great, fun, in-person draft experience. Birdies is Memphis's number one spot for virtual golf. It's located downtown in the South Main District. Also, they are the EPL home on Saturdays and Sundays. They'll open up at 9 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays, so you can go watch some Premier League. GolfAtBirdies.com. GolfAtBirdies.com. Let's get into the list. Danny Dimes. All right, Tim. I did not have this on my bingo card. If you would have told me Daniel was going to start for the Colts, I would have said, I buy that. If you would have said he's going to start week one and they're going to announce him as their starting quarterback with the intent of playing him all season, I would have bet heavily against that. I thought for the most part, they would try and make it work with Anthony Richardson until it could either work no more or it was the answer. They are not going that route. Now, So, I have a couple of thoughts on this. Number one, I think Anthony Richardson can come up with every excuse he wants in the book or every reason. If you, they're not excuses, they're reasons. I do not think his teammates can ever unsee him asking out of a game because he scrambled around.
I think, and I'm not trying to make too much of one, and you pointed this out last week, I'm not trying to make too much out of one play. But it's pretty telling when he gets absolutely obliterated in a preseason game and it was all his fault.
Yes.
And look, you asked me, I think last Friday, am I out on Anthony Richardson? And my answer was no. I still think there's some upside there, but when you're a coach like Shane Steichen, and is it fair to say Steichen enters this year on the hot seat?
To me, it feels it's make or break.
Right. It's year three. It's always a big year. They've been hovering. He's exactly 500.
I think one year he went 9-8, and last year went 8-9, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
In a very, what feels like winnable division. I'm not in love with the Texans. I think the Jags could be decent this year. I think there's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they won the division. But it's not the NFC North, right? It's not either North. Right. Yeah, AFC North too. I'll say this because I know all the hot take artists will be out there saying that Daniel Jones sucks and all this and that. These guys know the temperature of that locker room. And these guys are coaching for their jobs and their livelihoods. They're not going to do this because, I don't know, he's not. Like, it's pretty telling to me. I think over the years I've kind of learned more often than not when these decisions are made, it's for football reasons only. And if you're playing for upside, you're clearly going to start Anthony Richardson, but they're putting the quarterback in there they think gives them the best chance to win, and that's Daniel Jones, despite what you might hear on ESPN or whatever. I think that's more of an indictment on Anthony Richardson. So to amend what I said last Friday, I don't know. I thought I was still in on him. He's still young. He's got a lot of raw abilities, but you know, we heard about the raw abilities at Florida, and he dealt with injuries, never really amounted to, correct me if I'm wrong, they didn't do anything spectacular.
Well, I mean, that it largely cost Dan Mullen his job is because Mullen kept playing Emory Jones when the entire fan base wanted Anthony Richardson, and he kind of rotated him. But, like, I don't know, you know, maybe hindsight was pretty kind to Mullen. Like, I'm not saying that Emory Jones was like...
And Mullen, look, say what you will about Mullen, the dude knows how to coach quarterbacks.
He 100% knows how to coach quarterbacks. I think he's a very good football coach. I think that this is the other thing about Daniel Jones. I feel very confident discussing the play of Daniel Jones. I have watched him every single snap. And I went from the telling my wife when we were at dinner on our honeymoon and it was draft night and she's like, what do you think the Giants will do? I go, I don't know. They'll probably do something stupid like trade up and draft Daniel Jones. I said that before the first round started. And
they didn't trade up though.
I thought they did.
I thought they stayed at 6. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're right. Maybe they'll move up. You're right. So they drafted him too high. And then you wind up because he has kind of second generation Manning face where he just kind of looks dumb, but he's not dumb, but he's also really tough and he plays his ass off. And so when you're watching a really crappy team and you watch a guy that's like putting his body on the line, you kind of have this begrudging respect for him. Here's what's true about Daniel Jones. He's good enough to be a starting NFL quarterback if he doesn't turn the ball over. The reason why he's usually not a starting quarterback, and it's usually not picks, it's usually fumbles. And a lot of that is kind of like situational awareness. He also runs pretty, frequently. It's the fumbles that really do it. But like, if he does actually take care of turnovers, he is a completely functional NFL starter. He's a good enough athlete. He's a good enough thrower. But there's this weird reality with Richardson where there's some people on the internet that I feel like are making him a cause, and I'm like, this is not the guy to back.
I don't know why it's become such a hot take. Maybe it's because Daniel Jones, people, the upside of Richardson, hey, he did a backflip at the combine. He could throw it this far. And Daniel Jones was like, really? That guy's a sixth overall pick? Like, both of them were a reach at where they were selected. But I think we've already written off Daniel Jones, whether that's fair or not. And I think maybe in large part because he was in a massive media market in New York.
And let's be clear, because the way the contracts were, he got paid when really Saquon should have gotten paid. Their playoff team is, yes, he got Saquon's money. And that rubs people the wrong way. But I don't think that's not Daniel's fault. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in the end, that was just the nature of he was drafted a year before and his contract comes up.
I mean, I'm looking back at the draft, and the Colts with the fourth pick go with Richardson. Young and Stroud went 1-2. Anderson goes 3. They all are, well, Young I'm a little more bullish on than most.
I still got all my Bryce Young stock.
I mean, I know that the Colts needed a quarterback, and I hate doing the, you know, they could have drafted this guy. Well, the guy after them, Devin Witherspoon's a stud corner. You know, Bijan Robinson was drafted a little bit after that. He's proven out to be pretty darn good. Jalen Carter was the guy who fell because of character issues, and the Eagles were like,
don't remind me.
Okay. We'll go ahead and – didn't they trade up one spot to get him?
I think they jumped the Giants, and it's like my number one rule in the draft is when drafting defensive players, if you don't have red flags, I have red flags.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It feels like there's more hills to die on than the Anthony Richardson hill. And it's kind of going back to, not that he was, I'm trying to think of who would be a good example. Maybe Mitch Trubisky. It does feel like
Say what you want about Mitch. Mitch won more.
He did, no. But what I'm saying is the guys who don't start a ton in college, the jury kind of seems to be like, got to play a lot of football.
Yeah, to me, it just boils down to, I never thought Mitch was that good in college. Mitch,
who
I don't think...
Who was the guy who couldn't beat out?
Williams, something Williams.
Yeah, it's like some random athletic QB.
Yeah, but I think what it boils down to is, if you're not good in college, how can I expect you to be good in the pros? Because everyone wants to throw out the issue with Josh Allen. And nobody says this. Josh Allen wasn't bad in college. Josh Allen just wasn't accurate in college. Like, there's a difference. Like, Josh Allen won a lot of football games. I just can't think of an example where a guy was exceptionally mediocre in college and then all of a sudden becomes good in the pros. I do think, though, Richardson could be one of those guys that if you give him a year to reflect and get him in a new situation. Like, I do think he could be reclamation project.
I'll say this. Anthony Richardson, I don't think he's going anywhere because he's going to be one of those guys.
The complicating aspect is the Colts have to decide his fifth-year option this year.
No, what I'm saying is not going anywhere in the NFL.
Oh, no, he's getting another shot.
Somebody out there is be like, this dude has got potential through the – he's, you know, and you'll get this pointed out a million times. Well, he's, you know, he's the same age as – I mean, Sam Hartman's probably like 6 years older than Anthony Richardson, right?
Well, Tyler Shuck has to be 5 years older. I feel like Richardson's
– I talked to Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN at Big Ten Media Days. And we talked about the Tyler Shuck bad beat against Oregon.
Both of us had that one, yeah.
I'll never forgive him against Texas Tech. And he was like, I was on the sidelines for that game. And he said Dan Lanning was losing his mind when that pick six was returned.
To cover?
Because the guy should have just got
down. Yeah, he should have just fallen down. The game would have been over.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you and I talked about what an unaware football play that was. So he's 23.
I have a list of guys he's younger than.
Well, no, I was trying to know. I wanted to think about this. So I think Shuck's 27.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Shuck's not 27.
No, he's 26.
I think he's going to be 27 when he starts the year.
I say that he's like he's around my age.
He will be
25.
You're right. He's 26. He'll be 26 in September.
Sam Block from ESPN put out a quick hit list of guys that Anthony Richardson is younger than. He is younger than Shadur, younger than Will Howard, Dylan Gabriel, Tyler Shuck, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix.
Yeah, I mean, but my whole thing is, it's not really age that's the problem. It's like, man, like I just don't think he knows how to play quarterback. Like, at a certain point, like I just don't know if like you can just like Johnny Football tried it, just trying to get by athleticism and playing backyard football and making throws. Like, you're out of the league. Like, realistically, you know what he's kind of like is if Milton would have had a little bit more successful year at Michigan and gone pro. Because we still have people that are convinced like Milton can play.
Oh yeah, because every preseason he'll throw the ball like 90 yards. Look at that.
God, did you see his Saturday? I've never seen more impressive incompletions.
Oh, he's the preseason king.
God, he had a ball that he had to throw above the Jumbotron in Dallas and bounced off the hands. And then he tried to throw a dig route, and I'm pretty sure he broke the hand of his receiver.
I mean, Dallas would be a great place for AR to go because you have Trey Lance, Joe Milton, and then you bring in Richardson, the all-what-if team.
Here's what I think. I think far too often we think get the Anthony Richardsons of the world with the young RPO modern coach. You know what I think Anthony Richardson actually needs? Get in with like the Pete Carrolls, because I think history is going to be a little kinder to Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll knew exactly what he was talking about with Russell Wilson. Like, you know, when Russ's whole marketing team is let Russ cook, and he's adamant, I know what he does well. He's great off of play action. We get him out of the pocket and we're throwing outside the numbers. That's when he's at his best. Well, when we saw Russ cook and run in a full field offense, didn't look great. I guarantee you Pete Carroll can figure out how to use an Anthony Richardson. It was why when everyone was mocking the Raiders hiring, I was like, I think that's actually a fine hire. If you strike out on the big names you want, I think you can do a lot worse than Pete Carroll.
Look, I mean, at least from a head coach and an offensive coordinator standpoint, I got no issues with the Raiders, with Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly. Like, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch at head coach and OC. Now, we'll see what Geno Smith is and how that team ultimately, I just don't know if they have
a talent on the roster. But, like, you know, look at whose career did he save? And now Geno deserves credit, too. Geno's the one that had to, you know, make the plays. But when Russ leaves and he's got Geno and everyone's thinking like, oh my God, this is going to be a disaster. Worked okay. Gave Geno two more contracts. Like, I do think that's the other thing is like, I think we're probably giving up on quarterbacks too soon. I do also acknowledge there's probably a human element where like, I think some of these guys have needed to go and like they need to go and look at life in the dumps. You know what I mean? Like taste a little failure.
The concern in Indianapolis is also like I just don't know if they have enough playmakers. Like they're wide receivers.
Well, Daniel's very experienced with that.
That's true. I mean,
let me see if this sounds familiar. He's got a borderline elite running back.
Yep.
And he's got a bunch of receivers that you think might have been good in college.
Pretty much right. Yep. Michael Pittman Jr., Alec Pierce, Josh Downs, Tyler Warren was their first round pick.
Yep.
I mean, look, he could be good.
That's, I mean, Daniel is well equipped to deal with that. I don't know. There's just, I feel like there's some people that are making this one a cause, and I'm like, I think there's better examples. Speaking of other quarterbacks, the Fighting Irish have tapped their starter, and after it felt like some maybe controversy, because last week you were saying, man, I don't know about this what's going on at camp. Notre Dame names C.J. Carr the starting quarterback. I assume both guys are still going to play because you can just see exactly how they'll use Minshew, like red zone, goal line, like use him in that package. But I just feel like, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, if I'm a Notre Dame fan, I feel a little better today knowing C.J. won the job.
I would say if this last week did not happen, I would feel much better. I have some just weird feelings.
Okay, you ready for the spin zone?
Yeah, let's do it.
I definitely think Marcus Freeman was having to play college football in 2025 reality.
I think there's a legitimate discussion for that.
I think you gotta keep both guys happy. I think also it felt like that there might be some of the locker room wants one guy and the other locker room wants the other. I think he was having to kind of thread the needle on that one.
I don't think, from what I've gathered, I think this was a true competition. I don't think this is a situation where Kenny Minchie clearly was the better quarterback and the head coach overruled all of his coaching staff. I do know, because he said it on Sunday, Marcus Freeman said, this will be my decision. He said he loves his coaches, said he has the best coaching staff in the country, but he said he will make this decision. I do think there might have been some disagreement amongst the coaches. I don't know that for sure, but it sounded like maybe the safer option was Kenny Minchie because the turnovers this fall camp have been concerning. And when the media was there on the first practice, granted first practice, C.J. Carr threw three interceptions. Reportedly, he threw two picks in the scrimmage on Sunday as well, C.J. Carr did. But ultimately, the upside from everything that I gather on C.J. Carr is very high. And the hope was when they signed him a couple of years ago, he was the, I think, second best pocket passer in the 2024 class, according to 247, that he was the next Brady Quinn, right? Like he could be the next big time quarterback. Notre Dame has had.
Is he handsome?
Yeah, I think so.
Hang on, I'll be the judge of that.
Not Brady Quinn handsome, though. I mean, that's hard to top. I mean, Sam Hartman and Brady Quinn definitely 1-2 in the handsomeness power ratings.
He's going to have to grow his hair out a little bit.
I think he's got the buzz cut going
on.
Yeah,
that's a little too football campy for me.
I understand now. I mean, look, there was a big
move. I mean, let's be clear. His handsomeness level is going to be I'm Notre Dame. His opening lines, I'm the starting quarterback at Notre Dame.
Yeah, he's not. Look,
Sam Hartman didn't have to say what his credentials were.
Yeah, who is that guy?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to be doing something other than sports here very soon. So we'll see, man. He's
probably talking about sports on the CW. Wait, George, what was your? Yesterday we were looking up the pronunciation of Cal's quarterback.
Oh yeah, no, good luck.
What did we just decide? He's just going to be JKS. But George had the question. He goes, "Is Tom Brenneman going to have to say that guy's name?" Which, by the way,
happy anniversary!
Happy 50-year anniversary! Today's the deep drive to left.
There's a deep drive to left field by Castellanos.
I always wondered if he wouldn't have screwed up the Blazing Saddles quote, if he would have actually nailed the quote, would he have kept his job? The problem is he's it's one of those ones where if your dad made you watch Blazing Saddles and you thanked him afterwards, like, you knew what he was going for, but he also didn't nail it. And I think the fact that he didn't nail it, that left it that just left him like a wounded gazelle in the Serengeti. I also, though, I can't remember if I ever thrown this by. I also think that was an inside job. George can attest, and I don't know, I know you've done some board work, but obviously every producer's biggest fear is on a live broadcast leaving the mic on. I just wonder if all of a sudden, oops, left Tommy's mic on, because I've never heard that great of things about Tom behind the scenes.
Interesting. I will plead the fifth on that one. I don't have insight on that.
You're going to plead the fifth. All right. Yeah. Rich Eisen. Okay, so did you stay up? I know you were you on the air?
I was on the air.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I had this thought because, you know, there's the common refrain from people that you can't do SportsCenter the way that we did it in the 90s and even in the early 2000s. Everybody's seen every highlight. The scores, like, you know, the scores are what they are. Everybody's got the internet. I'd like to know if what I watched last night was possible, because I think this is true. Yeah, we can see everything, and you can see every highlight. But you know what I think could actually be a possibility? What if I don't want to just have to scroll on my phone? What if I know there's one spot where I can go and see the highlights of the day? And it can be formatted, and there can still be, like, in the end, we didn't really watch SportsCenter necessarily just for highlights and to find out what happened. We really watched for the personality. Because what I'm thinking last night is, how is this so different than what SVP does? Now, SVP is also a little bit different in the sense of it's still, you know, it has post-game show elements and there's whatnot, but it's still, at the core, it's SVP and Stanford Steve and then friends talking about what happened in sports that day. And I'm just not bought into this theory that if you actually tried SportsCenter the way that it once was, that it wouldn't work.
I totally agree, man. Like, it's, you know, everything comes full circle, and like watching clips of it. I didn't watch the whole thing last night. Hearing
I had to be there for my guy, start to finish.
Hearing that open and having the old school open where he talks over it, man, didn't that just get you all fired up?
Oh my God. And even the graphics and whatnot. But I was still thinking about, like, okay, forget this is tugging at my heartstrings. I'm still just not bought into this concept that if you did essentially a curation of what happened in sports, that people wouldn't watch that. Yeah, I get it. We can see everything. But what if at the end of the day, like, I kind of just want to see it packaged in one spot and I don't have to scroll my phone the whole time?
I'm with you. I the best show they have is SportsCenter with Van Pelt.
Well, and also, it's the only homegrown show that they've launched that's worked.
The best show they have is Van Pelt Center. It obviously has a lot to do with how good he is at his job. I recognize that. But, like,
well, and I would also say this. It feels like more than most people, and particularly at the time when it launched, it does not feel like the executives in Bristol put their fingers on that show.
No, it's pretty much what
I mean, he moved it to D.C.
Right. He's like, I want to go home. They're like, yeah. Okay.
But, I mean, have they launched another show that's even reasonably worked?
Launched?
With an in-house talent. And I get it. He started at Golf Channel and whatnot.
No, like, he's an in-house talent.
He's in-house.
I don't think so. Not of recently, right? I mean, they launched PTI, but that was 20-some-odd years ago.
And again, like, I get it. Rich has probably got millions of reasons to not do that. But I don't know. Like, I was just thinking that I have never bought into the idea that it can't work. I do think that there are mid-level managers that want to put their stamp on everything. By the way, how have those shows been going?
Which ones?
Just all, you know, anything that's been launched by ESPN. How those shows going? You know, when they really started putting their finger on the pulse of telling sports fans what they wanted. Those all have been wild successes.
I mean, I guess I will say I don't like it, but I think First Take does okay.
I accept First Take for what it is, but that's also, we're talking, I don't know, 17 years? I mean, when we're saying their hits are PTI, which has to be 25 at least, First Take and Van Pelt, that's a pretty bad batting average.
Game Day, that started, what, 35 years ago?
I mean, I think Tim Brando hosted the first one.
He did. First time they went on the road, 93, Notre Dame, Florida State. Game
that's
of the
three networks ago for Tim. Like, I don't know. Like, I think they've just been sniffing their own farts for so long, and they make so much money because, like, we have to have ESPN that it's never, like, they always feel like they have to justify whatever dumb decision they make, and it's like, you cannot convince me that an aggregation of what happened in sports would not work. I get to go to one spot for it? Great. Thanks. And by the way, don't send me to the app. Which, don't know if you saw this today, they are preaching patience with the app. So, sure, that launch is going to roll out nice and smooth. All right, there's a couple other big stories from the NFL that I want to discuss. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
All right, Tim. So there were a couple of thoughts I had from last night watching Monday Night Football. What are Joey B's MVP odds right now?
Hold on.
Because there were a couple of thoughts I had. Number one, I don't love that everybody feels like they're starting the Joey B for MVP. I don't love how that's becoming a common narrative.
DraftKings right now has him as the third shot at plus 650 behind Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
Okay. And then the other question was the question that you were asking last week, and I think this is a pertinent question. How many games does he have to win to be the MVP? Because I will say it did feel like there was some hindsight is 2020. I feel like there were a lot of people that after the season were like, you know, I maybe should have voted Joe Burrow. But during the heat of the moment, they didn't. And so then I was starting to be curious, okay, what's the fewest number of games an MVP has won? And the answer is John Elway, who went 8-4 in the strike season of 87. All right, I'm kicking that one out.
So my buddy Jared Smith put this out there. No quarterback in the last 25 years has come – no quarterback MVP. So I believe Adrian Peterson and the Vikings went 10-6.
Yeah, and I think quarterback – I do think no matter what NFL analysts will tell us, we do treat quarterback wins as loss and wins and losses as stat.
So no quarterback MVP in the last 25 years has won less than 11 games. The average win total of the last 17 quarterbacks to win the MVP was 13.4, and only one had fewer than 12 wins.
And that was Matt Ryan, and which I still claim is Kyle Shanahan's greatest accomplishment. I got Matt Ryan an MVP. With all due respect to Matt Ryan.
He also took Jimmy G to the Super Bowl and was one pass away from winning that Super Bowl.
Had a double-digit lead. So Josh went...
By the way, is anyone else... Why does Kyle Shanahan get the Falcons loss? He was the offensive coordinator. Dan Quinn was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Like, Dan Quinn gets a complete pass on the Falcons' collapse in the Super Bowl.
That game was on about a month or so ago. I mean, anytime you have in an NFL game with NFL clock rules, if a team's down 28-3, a lot of stuff has to happen for the other team to win. But it kind of is like bingo card of what you needed to happen to lose a Super Bowl or like to lose a game up 28-3 in the NFL. Ryan gets a complete free pass on the fumble six. Julio, there's a ball in the fourth quarter that if Julio catches it, it pretty much ices the game. It was a tough catch, but it's also like Ryan gets a pass because it was like wasn't a great throw. Like that was he was wide open and they don't. I don't know. I think it's just simply it's fun to rip on Kyle. I think there's like an element of. There's definitely a segment that looks at Kyle's record and thinks that he's more hype than he is substance. I think there's obviously always going to be the nepotism angle, but like I think it's just it's a lot more funny to rip on Kyle Shanahan than it is to rip on Dan Quinn in that. And I also think like when Kyle's become a head coach, like he doesn't do well with the clock. He really is like new Andy Reid.
So he's going to win three Super Bowls?
Yeah, when he gets whatever the new Mahomes is. Because I think Brock Purdy's going to kind of be... Brock Purdy's going to be Shanny's Alex Smith. Steady hand. But, man, like when you have to start paying other people and paying him, it's like, man, I don't know.
All right, so go back to your original point. Of Burrow, because look,
that defense isn't fixed. Let me say that. I know it's preseason and all those things, but it's like they don't have dudes. Like that was the thing that stood out about last year. You can blame Lou Anarumo all you want. They were like
they didn't do anything to help the defense.
Yeah, like there was like they're slow, they're small, and they miss tackles, which usually those things are related.
Look, there might not be a bigger Al Golden fan in the media than me. Like I'm all for Al Golden. He was amazing at Notre Dame. One man can only do so much. Oh, by the way, the guy who had 17 and a half sacks last year on this putrid defense, yeah, he might not be playing either.
I don't know how to think about this one. Okay, so with Hendricks.
They're going to be fun to watch, I'll tell you that, man.
Oh, I mean, every game's going to be. And I mean, listen, I look forward to losing a lot of money on the Bengals again this year. And I look forward to having my wife yell out around week 10, stop betting on the Bengals.
Are they going to lose week one to the Browns?
It has to be on the table. They lost to the Patriots week one at home last year.
What's the record of Joe Burrow and the Bengals?
He's playing preseason. Come on.
No. But what's the record? It's like 1-10 or something like that through the first two couples.
Give me filibuster and I'll look it up.
So,
what do you want? The month of September? You want Burrow in the month of September?
I was going to say week one, two, but let's just do September.
I can filter.
Well, the point you were going to say is, I think, a fair point. Because Joe Burrow was unbelievable last year. And statistically speaking, should have absolutely been in the MVP discussion. But they went 9-8. And here's the thing, man. I don't think they have improved enough. Like, I expect Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and this offense to be amazing. But in that division, I think under 9.5 wins is probably the way I would go.
All right. Weeks 1-2 in 10 games, Joe is 1-9. Now, I also think, all right, let me double check. He's 1-9. They have only been favored in 4 of those games.
Okay. Favored in how many?
4 of the 10.
Okay.
Now, I mean, but again, it's 1-9. I don't know. I just see a repeat of what we saw last year where, hey, you know, if the game gets into a bunch of track meets, you've got Burrow, but at the same time, it's like, man, like, I don't know how that team gets to. I mean, what do you think? If you've got the Ravens in the division, what do you think realistically you have to get to? 12 to win? And you do get the advantage if you play a third place schedule.
I mean, I guess the question is, how bad do you think the Browns will be? And what do you expect from the Steelers? Like, can either one of those teams be a bit of a speed bump?
So I think you can go ahead and pencil in the Steelers are going to be 10-7 and a wild card team, and they're going to lose in the wild card round. Are we in agreement?
It's pretty much what they do every year.
All right. I feel like the Browns are going to be a feisty 5-12. Like, I think they're going to be better than you think, but they're still just going to lose a bunch of games.
I agree with that. I think the defense.
They've got enough dudes around that, like, they're going to be annoying, but they don't have, like, that's the other thing. I remember talking about Flacco. It's like, did anyone forget, like, Flacco with the Colts last year wasn't that good either?
I mean, Cleveland plus 5.5 week one is definitely on my radar.
Oh, that's I can already tell you this. That is going to be in your boys' week one teaser. And I also will be teasing Danny Dimes is giving 1.5 to the Dolphins. So I can just tell you right now, the Dolphins will also – I'll be getting the Dolphins north of a touchdown. I will be taking that.
That is the classic Wong teaser spot there.
Uh-huh. Well, and I'm going to be getting, like, what, 11 with the Brownies. Yeah, I look forward to losing that one. Like, they're going to be down like 28-3, and there's not going to be a 28-3 comeback there. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got to go to Ryan Clark last night on Monday Night Countdown about Joe Flacco's getting named the week one starter for the Browns. I'm going to tell you what, man. Joe Flacco must have the faith of a mustard seed, because this is the greatest resurrection since Jesus the Christ. I mean, are we just going to totally forget Tommy Maddox? Dude was selling insurance. Flacco was at least still in football. That's why he gets the big bucks, baby. That's why he gets the big bucks.
Apparently, Greg McElroy is getting a little getting a little run right now because apparently on his podcast he said everyone's doubting Nebraska's ability to win the SEC.
I don't think he said that.
I believe the graphics person put that up there. SEC Dark Horse Nebraska.
Also, Saban's mad at him for the media day. He's not done coaching.
Oh.
Yeah. Saban has a tough time when he's no longer coaching guys and he just can't control them. It's like, hey, he was doing his job, Nick. All right, my man. Safe travels.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Talk to you on Friday from Honolulu.
All right. He, of course, is Tim Murray. If you missed anything, he'll be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.